C.S. Lewis, he once wrote this. He said, term, holidays. Term, holidays. Until we leave school, and then work, 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 till we die. Or more recently, I read a report that said that a quarter of us are so stressed at work that we have physically attacked our computers. So that is probably about 15 or 20 of us here have physically attacked our computers. So it all begs the question, why do you or I get up in the morning and work? Why do we bother? What are we working for? Well, there are a number of different reasons, aren't there? And most of them, I guess, have to do with purpose. That we have a purpose for working. So I asked one friend this question last week. I said to her, what are you working for? And she said this to me. She said, well, I live in London. I have a mortgage to pay, so I work. That was her answer, succinct to the point, but probably an answer that most of us would say something similar. For many of us, our purpose for working is so we can have possessions. Now, whether those possessions are bought from Harvey Nichols and Mr. Porsche, or whether they're bought from Tesco's and British Gas, we want possessions, we need them. And we need money to pay for the possessions, so we work to get money to get possessions. Or our purpose for work, it might be around power. So we're working to get a powerful position at work. That's our ambition. That's what drives us. We want to be influential. Or perhaps our purpose for working might be for peace. So looking back on a hectic period of life, Matt Damon, the actor, he was asked in an interview how he found inner peace. And he replied, I hid in my work. I hid in my work. That's how he found inner peace. Or it might be peace, not so much on an individual scale, but a global scale. So think of those Miss World contests. Miss World, she's always asked what she wants to be involved in, what she wants to work for, and without fail, the answer always is, I'm working for world peace. But it's not just about what Miss World wants, is it? So many people in the world want to work in a job that makes a difference in the world. They want to make the world a better place, to be a part of world peace. Now, I'm sure for every single one of us here, at least one of those things would have rung bells for us as we think about what we are working for. But then, I know there are people that work for a different reason. It's not so much purpose as the people. So I think back to when I was a management consultant. I was a management consultant, and colleagues would often say to me that particularly after sort of working nightmare hours on some nightmare project that seemed of no use to anybody at all, people would say, well, the only reason I still work for this company is because of the people. The work's dire, the hours are dire, but the people I work with are nice. They're what keep me in the job. And I guess that'll be for the same for some of you here this lunchtime. You like the people in your job. That's why you stay where you are. So that's what we are working for. We're working for a purpose or for people. But what about Jesus? What was Jesus working for? And this is where our Bible passage for today is particularly relevant, I think. I wonder if you could just turn back there, if you're not there already, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now, Christine read for us. She just read the beginning and the end of the story, but I'm sure you got the gist of the story. It's an amazing incident, isn't it? This man blind from birth, he's never, ever seen. Just think about it. When people talked about a beautiful sunset, he would have known nothing about it. He has never, ever seen. He was a blind man who was just, he's just ended up begging. We read that in verse 8. Just ended up begging. And yet, when he meets Jesus, well, his life is never ever the same again. It's an amazing story. And it gives us a very clear answer as to what Jesus was working for. And the answer is that he was working for exactly the same two things as each of us. For a purpose and for people. Just look, will you, at his purpose first of all. Jesus states it. He states it very clearly in verse 4. So have a look at verse 4, the middle there of verse 4. His purpose is to do the work of him who sent me. To do the work of him who sent me. And we see a bit more what that work is in the next verse. If you look at verse 5, Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So that's Jesus' purpose. That's why he is working, to be the light of the world. I'll never forget going on a school caving trip when I was about age 12. There were about 8 boys and then this instructor. And we were way underground in this underground cave system. You know, all the stuff. We had boiler suits on, hard hats, a little torch light there. But it wasn't powered by a battery. It was powered by some sort of chemical. It was very sort of Dark Ages type thing. They hadn't got batteries. I don't know why. But this sort of chemical that you lit and it produced a light. And there we were in these caves. The only way that we could see our way around this sort of giant rabbit warren as we climbed underground waterfalls, all sorts. The only way we could see was with these lights on our heads. But then right at the bottom of the cave system, two of the boys, Charlie and Tom, they detested each other. And they started arguing. And they started arguing so loud, they just started shouting at each other at the top of their voices in the bottom of this cave system. And the instructor, he got so furious, he switched off all our lights. And so there we were. In the pitch darkness, hundreds of feet below the ground, no light at all, we were totally helpless without our lights. The instructor was silent. I was silent. I was petrified. Even Charlie and Tom, they were silent. And there we stood, in total silence for about 5 minutes in the pitch darkness, utterly helpless, unable to do anything. After 5 minutes, the instructor, he got out his box of matches to relight our lamps, but then he dropped the matchbox onto the sort of the wet cave floor, pitch darkness. Now, he let out a few choice words that I won't repeat now, and then he got down on all fours and just scrabbling around in the complete darkness, trying to find the matchbox. Eventually, he found it, but obviously it was a bit wet after having dropped onto the bottom of this wet cave. Got out a first match. Struck it, nothing. The second match, struck it, nothing. That went on and on, literally for 10, 11, 12 matches. And then finally, 13th match, it lit. We had light again. You see, we were totally helpless without the light. We couldn't make sense of anything. We couldn't go anywhere. We didn't know where we were. We couldn't do anything. And Jesus is telling us here that it is exactly the same for all of us without him. We're helpless. We can't make sense of life without him, he who is the light of the world. So Jesus, he's working for a purpose, to be the light of the world. But he's also working for people. He's working for people. Management gurus, they tell us that there are two types of people at work. I don't know if you've noticed it in your workplace. There's two types of people. You have either the people that are task-oriented or people that are people-oriented. Task-oriented or people-oriented. Well, Jesus was people-oriented. People were his task. People mattered to him. That way that Jesus, he made the mud patty with the earth and his spit. And he rubbed it on the man's eye so the man knew what he was doing. Jesus, he cared about people. This man, he'd never seen anything before, but Jesus enables him to go home with perfect sight. We get to the end of the chapter after all this commotion. The man's been thrown out of the synagogue. And then look at verse 35. Just turn over the page, will you, to verse 35. And look at verse 35. Do you see what it says there? Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Isn't that wonderful? When he found him, the Almighty, the Son of Man, searching out, finding this little man of little significance. Jesus is people-oriented. And so he wanted to make blind people see. He did it physically at the start of the chapter, But actually, far more significantly, he did it spiritually. At the end of the chapter, he gave the man spiritual sight. Just look again, if you will, at verse 35. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus' work is to help spiritually blind people to see as they believe in him. Him, the light of the world. You see, Jesus, he is the only light of the world. Without him, we're all spiritually blind. Even people like the Pharisees who seem very, very religious. Without Jesus, we're spiritually blind. So when we come to our third question there on the service sheets, which is the first of the same question. The same as the first question. What are you working for? What are you working for? Well, if you haven't yet believed in Jesus and responded to his work, well, just look at the screen, will you, at this conversation that Jesus had just a couple of chapters earlier, John chapter 6. Look at that. Then the people asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So that is the key work for you. If you haven't yet believed in Jesus, this is the key work for you. It is the most important thing in your life. It is more important than anything to do with your job at all. The key work for you, if you haven't yet, is to believe in the one God has sent. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Just like our formerly blind man, Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He replies, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. But the majority of us here are Christians. We can echo the words of Amazing Grace that we sang at the start. "I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Jesus has given us spiritual sight. But the question is, what difference does that make to us in our workplaces? I had a conversation with someone just last week. He became a Christian earlier this year. And he was confused. He said, "What difference should it make? Me being a Christian in my workplace? Should I be changing jobs now I'm a Christian? What should I be working for as a Christian?" You see, there's lots of wise advice around about work. If you were to buy The Guardian recently, they had this little booklet and it had an article in it about how to make your working day a pleasure, not a pain. Now, let me give you some tips from The Guardian. Listen up here. The first of all, we all need to buy a houseplant for our desks. That's the first thing we need to do. Apparently, in trials, a team from Oslo University found that more plants led to an improvement in concentration levels by a third and a 45% reduction in headaches. So there you go. Next time you have a headache at work, don't go out and buy a paracetamol. Go and buy yourself a pot plant. And so the list goes on. The Guardian tells us we should perfect our postures. We should protect our eyes. We should practice desk-a-size, whatever that might be. And then my favourite of the lot, we should all sip water regularly. Because, listen to this, because apparently 1 in 8 of the workplaces in the UK, 1 in 8 is as dry as the Sahara Desert. So there you go. So there's lots of advice, isn't there, around our world about how we work. But what does Jesus tell us about what we should be working for? Well, verse 4 is fascinating. I wonder if we could just turn back to verse 4. I think it is an absolutely fascinating verse. I'd like you to see if you can spot the surprise in verse 4. I'm going to read from halfway through verse 3, and I'm going to change one word in the Bible and just see if you can spot it. So we're at the start of the story. Jesus, he's pointing at the blind man, and he says, halfway through verse 3, he says, "This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, I must do the work of him who sent me." Now, did you notice the word I changed? We'd expect it, wouldn't we? Jesus to say, verse 4, as long as it is day, I must do the work of him who sent me. But he doesn't say that. Verse 4, he says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Not just Jesus, but all his disciples, both the original 12 back then and all his followers ever since. We must be doing the work that God sent Jesus to do. And we've seen what that work is, haven't we? Jesus' purpose. His purpose was to be the light of the world. And as Christians, that should be our purpose too. Not in the unique way that Jesus was, of course not. But you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? It's Matthew 5, verse 14, if you're taking notes. Jesus said there to his followers, he said, you are the light of the world. So Christian, in your workplace, that is your purpose. To be a light in your workplace. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That is our purpose. Now, I'm not naive enough to assume that possessions and power and peace, they won't play a part in our purpose at work. Of course they will. Some of those are good things. But let's make sure that our overriding purpose at work is to be a light in the world, shining for Jesus. And then finally, Jesus' work, it was also about people. It was about people, making blind people see. And again, we are to be about that same work too, helping spiritually blind people to see as they come to believe in Jesus. You see, if we were to go around this church this lunchtime and ask us what everyone's occupations were, we'd get a whole range of occupation, wouldn't we? Accountant, charity worker, chartered surveyor, mum, secretary, advertising, reception desk, BBC Music for All, associate minister, a whole range of different occupations. And we might be tempted to think that some of our jobs were better than other people's jobs. Either the better paid ones. Or perhaps the ones that seem sort of more holy, more helpful, more suitable for a Christian. But Jesus, he puts all of our jobs on a level playing field. He says they're equal. They're equal. He just says, make sure that you see your primary work as helping spiritually blind people to see. That is our primary work. So let our colleagues know that we're Christians if we are. Let's be ready to speak of Jesus as well as living upright lives. Let's be inviting people along to this paper plate lunch in a couple of weeks' time. Let's be people-oriented. People-oriented, helping spiritually blind people to see as we point them to the only one who can heal the blind. Let's pray. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world. I pray, Lord, for anyone here who does not yet believe in you. Please, would you give them spiritual sight as they put their trust in you. And for all of us here, Lord Jesus, please would you help us to be about your work in our workplaces. Please, Lord, would you help each one of us to make a difference for you. Amen.